It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We come to you every Wednesday. This week, a little U.S. Open recap. Wyndham Clark gets his first major championship. So, I mean, what a impressive performance from Wyndham Clark. I think the beginning of 2022 is outside the top 150 in the world, and now firmly inside the top 15, and a major champion now, and it's just been a rise. And it's something that I think a lot of people that have watched his golf swing over the years and seen how much confidence he has. Listen, you won't find a more confident golfer than Wyndham Clark. I mean, he rivals Brooks Koepka in confidence. And I think that's a massive, massive asset. Someone that he works with on the mental game, Julie Ellion, who's a very, very dear friend of mine. She was quoted as telling him, stay cocky on Sunday. Every time that you hear everybody talking about Ricky Fowler's name, stay cocky and play well enough so that they start saying your name. And I think the Sunday, the performance from Wyndham Clark, some of the up and downs that he made on the front, 8 and 9, he could have made anything. And that was one of the things about LA Country Club. We saw Dustin Johnson make an 8 by just hitting it in a bunker. Missed the fairway by maybe 5 yards on 2 and ends up making an 8. Wyndham Clark, I think everybody saw on the 8th hole, par 5, where you're looking to try and pick up a shot. He hits it just a little left and is staring double bogey in the face. Takes a hack at it, doesn't move it. If it does move it, it doesn't move it very far. Then hits it over the green and then just hits an unbelievable chip shot. I mean, just... if you haven't been there and you haven't played that golf course, TV doesn't do that justice. That was down a massive, massive slope. Gets out of there. And then on 9, he could have made anything there as well. No green to work with. Somehow makes the downhill 10-footer that if you're going to win a major championship for par, you have to make those. The up and down on 11 was just ridiculous. How good that was. Because when he hit it over there, I'm thinking, okay, now this is, you know, he'd been a little bit shaky on 8, a little bit shaky on 9, and then misses the green left on 11. And I'm thinking, okay, he's played so good up until this point. He's made all the putts that he's needed to make through 3 days. And he just hit an unbelievable shot. I keep saying unbelievable because that's, he just couldn't believe that he could hit it where he did from that position. And then I think the shot of the tournament, 14, you know, watching Rory McIlroy right in front of him, hits a really good drive and then hits it onto the green in an opening from 240 to 50. And the opening that he ran it up is probably 5 to 7 yards wide. And you hit it in the bunker left, or you get up on one of those collars like we saw Rory McIlroy get up on. I mean, you could make anything. And then hung on down the stretch, bogey on 15, and then just did what he needed to do. And I wouldn't say this... I mean, I'm going to go on a limb. I think you could see this coming from a player like Wyndham Clark. Like I said, massive, massive amounts of self-belief. Some people see that as cocky. Some people see that as arrogant. I've been lucky enough to be around some of the greatest golfers on the planet. They're all cocky. They're all arrogant. You can't get to number one in the world if you don't. Some of them do it quietly. I think Scottie Scheffler does it quietly, but Scottie Scheffler has a tremendous amount of self-belief. Rory McIlroy, you know, probably the most fan favorite player in the game right now. Rory has an incredible amount of self-belief. And I think you have to have that as a player. And I think we saw Wyndham Clark reach a lot of the potential that a lot of people thought he had. But I loved his interview afterwards. He said, listen, I think I'm one of the best players in the world. I've always thought I'm one of the best players in the world. And let me tell you, I would much rather have a player think they're a great player than to have a player question it. So I think it was a great story. A lot of people, and I'll be honest, including myself, I was pulling for Ricky Fowler. I worked with Ricky for a long time. My dad's worked with Ricky for a long time. My dad's now back working with Ricky. I thought it was a real step forward for Ricky. I thought the way he played Thursday and Friday showed that his game is back. It's back to where he can start winning tournaments, where he can start contending in major championships. Didn't have his best stuff on Sunday. I think part of that is he hasn't been there in a while, and it's a big stage, and he didn't get off to a great start. But I expect good things from Ricky Fowler going. I said to some people that know Ricky well that I thought Ricky would win before the U.S. Open. He hasn't done that, but he had a legit chance to win the U.S. Open, and I can definitely see a situation to where Ricky Fowler has more chances between now and the end of the year to win major. He's got a chance to win another major at the British, and he's got chances to win more tournaments. So definitely, I think his game is trending in the right direction. I think it has been a very smart move for him to go back to my dad, Butch Harmon. I think my dad brings a tremendous amount of calmness, tremendous amount of stability, a tremendous amount of confidence. And I think they're working on the right stuff. I think his golf swing is working in a really good position. I like the position that he's got at the top of his backswing. I don't see the club as flat and as kind of laid off and that change of direction, that transition. Ricky's got a fairly quick, fast tempo. I think Saturday night, the 18th hole was, I wouldn't say a turning point, but is a big two-shot swing, right? Wyndham Clark just flags an iron shot. Big club twirl, going to make birdie. They're playing in the dark. Yet another mystery decision by the USGA. We went early on Sunday, and they couldn't have gone early on Saturday. I don't know if that's a USGA choice. I don't know if that's a NBC choice. But I talked to Ricky and his caddy, and he said they were struggling to see you. If you saw Wyndham Clark's interview on Saturday night, he said he thought the lack of light affected Ricky. Ricky three putts, and there's a two-shot swing, and it looked very different going into Sunday. But I think Ricky is making the improvements that he needs to make, and I think he's trending in the right direction. I mean, what can you say about Rory McIlroy? I've said this on the pod a number of times. I'm a massive, massive Rory McIlroy fan, both on and off the golf course. But I thought the golf he played last week was pretty solid. He drove the ball very, very well. It looked to me like he had gone back to hitting the high bomb nuke draw. Sometimes Rory moves it around, likes to fade it, likes to cut it. I think he plays his best, just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think Rory plays his best when he is hitting the draw, specifically with the driver. He can move the irons both ways. But when Rory is able to stand up, and we saw that on the first hole. First hole and 18th hole, very, very wide fairways. The 18th hole, some of the widest fairways I've ever seen for a U.S. Open, and I've been to a lot of them. But I thought some of the drives that Rory McIlroy hit all last week were really impressive. And listen, it's been 9 years since he's won a major. I'm as shocked by that as anybody. But he keeps giving himself chances. But this is now 3 weeks in a row, Memorial, RBC, and the U.S. Open, where Rory McIlroy is in the last group, Memorial and RBC, and doesn't get it done, where everybody is expecting him to win. And then he's in the second to last group. But I think a lot of people were picking Rory to win that tournament, to win another major championship, to get to five, to break the duck that he's been, the cycle that he's been on of not winning one since 2014? I mean, it's just crazy to think that it's been since Valhalla that Rory McIlroy has won a major championship. I think they get harder to win the longer he goes without winning one, because the question every week that he plays a major championship is, he's one of the favorites, but can he get it done? But I think his game is, it's made for major championships. It really is. I think he is made for major championships. Yes, he hasn't won a major in 9 years, but Rory McIlroy is going to, I think he's going to have another legit chance at Hoylake. He's won an open championship before. So I fully suspect that Rory McIlroy will be in the mix come Sunday, late Sunday afternoon, at Hoy Lake for the Open Championship. And listen, you can see, I thought Rory looked different last week. I really did. I think everything that's gone on in the last couple of weeks in golf, it looked like Rory was focusing more on the golf and less on some other stuff. I saw him finish on Saturday night and come out of scoring and go straight from scoring into the locker room. I didn't see him give any interviews. He looked all business last week. I didn't see him talking to a lot of people. I saw him being very, very focused. I saw Rory last week kind of doing the same thing that Tiger Woods did in major championships. He didn't talk to anybody, didn't really give a lot of interviews, didn't really answer a lot of questions. And he looked all business last week, and he comes up one shot short. He's got the game, right? He's Rory McIlroy. He's one of the most dominant players of this generation. And I just love the way he plays golf. And he's going to win another major championship. If it's not at the Open Championship in a couple, 2-3 weeks, he's going to be one of the favorites going into the Masters. He's going to be one of the favorites going into the PGA next year. He's going to be one of the favorites going into the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. So I think we saw some good things from Rory. And we've definitely seen some very, very good golf from Rory over the last 3 weeks. He's playing his fourth tournament in a row, which he doesn't normally do. It's a designated event on the PGA Tour, so there were a lot of players that are playing. They're playing a lot of golf, and it's going to be interesting to see how Hartford plays out.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
A player that I really, really like. I like his game. Minwoo Lee finished, I think, tied for fifth. His sister is a major champion. His sister has a great golf swing. Minwoo's got a great golf swing, and he's a really, really cool kid. 3-4 years ago, he would kind of use Dubai as a base when he was on the European Tour, and he would hang out at my academy at the Els Club in Dubai. And, you know, on Saturdays and Fridays, when we would have all our junior camps and junior development courses, we'd have bunch of games and be testing the players, and it was always cool. My guy Jamie McConnell, who runs my academy out there, who's been on the pod, would send me videos of Minwoo just, you know, hanging out with 16, 17 year old, 15 year old kids, you know, going through skills tests and trying to get better. So I thought that was a really cool thing to see. I think he's got a very, very bright future, and I think he's a player to watch. Tom Kim lit it up, had it going. I think he's a player to watch. I think the ceiling and the runway for Tom Kim is really, really high. But Wyndham Clark is a major champion, and don't be surprised if Wyndham Clark keeps winning golf tournaments, and don't be surprised if Wyndham Clark gets inside the top 10 or the top 5 in the world, because he is legit. He has legit game. And there is no one that believes that he should be where he is more than Wyndham Clark. I think the emotion that he showed and everything that he's gone through with losing his mom, he's a national champion. He played college golf at Oklahoma State and then senior year transferred to Oregon, and they won a national championship. So he's doing all of the right things that you need to do to become a great player. And you win a U.S. Open, and it puts you in a very, very different category. And he has his first major championship. So John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, and now Wyndham Clark. Those are your three major champions. Who is going to get the last one? The Open Championship, I think is probably the most wide open of all the tournaments, all the majors, because you just don't know what you're going to get from a weather standpoint. The golf course will be linksy. Is it going to run fast? Is it going to be hard? Is it? What are you going to get? So I'm really looking forward to getting over there and checking that out. LA Country Club. I'm going to be honest. It did not, to me, it's just my opinion, it just didn't feel like a major. It really didn't. It felt like a new tournament on a golf course that no one had really played. The golf course looked fantastic on TV, and it looked fantastic in person. There were players that liked it, and there were players that didn't. Brooks, Matt Fitzpatrick, Victor Hovland, they weren't big fans. There were other players. I'm sure Wyndham Clark's a fan. But I didn't hear en masse players and caddies just raving about the golf course the way that they normally do it at major championships when we go to great golf courses. It felt flat. I mean, I think if you were looking at social media, there were a lot of people talking about it. It was next to impossible to walk. It was a very, very difficult spectator course to watch. There were a lot of tee boxes that you couldn't get to. There were a lot of green complexes where you weren't necessarily able to get around them. And it just seemed like, and I think due to the location right in the middle of Beverly Hills, they've got two golf courses, but there were a bunch of reports that the ticket sales weren't nearly what they normally are. And you could tell. And listen, major championships, the fans, in my opinion, play a huge role in major championship golf. And there was a definite subdued corporate country club kind of feel to last week. And I'm just being honest. I'm just giving my opinion. I played that golf course before. I played it before the Gilhans redesign. It's one of those clubs in America to where there are more rules than you can read. It's very exclusive. And it just didn't have that, like I said, I keep going back to it. It just didn't have that major championship feel to it. And I think the fans not being there in full force like they normally are played a big, big role in that. You just didn't hear all these roars that you normally hear from all over the golf course when somebody does something. You'd hear it occasionally, but yeah, it was, the golf course, I think, was, I heard funky from a player. I heard gimmicky from a player. I heard unique from a player, which is never a good thing when someone says it's unique and they don't back up the reasons why it's unique. So I don't know. They're going back there, I think, but I think they've got to find a way when they do go back there. They've got to find a way to get more fans in. There were just tons of rumors about why there weren't fans there. Did the membership buy up the tickets so that the golf course didn't get beat up? I mean, you just heard a lot of different things. But it felt to me a little flat. I've been to a lot of U.S. Opens. I've been to every one since, 2000. And I've been to every U.S. Open for the last decade. And I went to a ton before. I went to U.S. Opens in the 80s. I went to U.S. Opens in the 90s. I went to a bunch of U.S. Opens in the Tiger era, and last week was the most subdued and flat that I've been to. And if I'm honest, it's probably my least favorite one that I've been to in my entire, life. Now, I'm a massive L.A. guy. I used to live in L.A. I know a lot of people don't like Los Angeles. Traffic's terrible, but I spent almost 3 years in L.A., and it's one of my favorite places in the world. It was a great host town. There were, all the manufacturers, a bunch of the organizations, everybody was having parties. I mean, LA, Beverly Hills, I mean, it showed out. I mean, it was great. I mean, there was a bunch of stuff to do. Food's great. The vibe's great. The weather's great. But in my opinion, the golf course and the week just felt different. Maybe it changes the next time they go back there. Maybe the golf course changes. I don't know. But it did feel a little bit, like I said, I just keep saying the same word, flat and subdued. And It was an interesting week, but everybody's playing the same golf course, and I think it was a big boy golf course. But it was also it was a small golf course for certain players, I think. One of the things I did like about LACC as a major championship venue is we saw a big mix of different types of games on the leaderboards, right? I mean, we saw a guy like Brian Harman who, listen, Brian gets it done very differently than Rory McIlroy and Wyndham Clark gets it done, right? I think we saw the golf course, you could play it maybe different ways. But it did seem like if you hit the ball a yard offline, you could be making X. And I don't know if that's a great test. And then there were just some holes, especially on the back nine, that, you know, it's like they can't, you know, there weren't, you know, the 13th hole, the 14th tee, you know, there were no spectators out there. There were no spectators around really the 15th green, which is this tiny little green. And, you know, they played it at 80 something yards. Brooks Koepka made double on an 80 something yard par three and four putted. I thought that was kind of cool. It was fun to watch the best players in the world control a little 80, 90, 100-yard wedge shot. I think one of the things that everybody was trying to figure out is, do you tee it up? Do you tee up a lob wedge from 80 yards? If you do, it tends to add more spin. The ball goes further. So I think club selection, I think that part of it was fun. But the 18th hole, for a finishing hole, it had one of the widest fairways I've ever seen for a major championship. And I mean, I think the jury's out on whether that's good, whether that's bad. Early in the week, we get the news that the PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan is taking a step back from the PGA Tour due to health reasons. I heard as many people last week. There were as many rumors last week that Jay was very, very ill as there were that there was nothing wrong with him. And this was just, is this the way out for Jay? I've been around professional golf pretty much my entire life. You know, my dad played the PGA Tour when I was young. I'm told that I was on the PGA Tour 2 weeks after I was born in the back of a station wagon. And pretty much the majority of my life, I'm 54 years old, I've been involved with professional golf at some level. And really for the last 15 years, it's been the major part of my life. And I've never seen a time where an entire sport, organization, whatever you want to call it, you had everybody there last week and literally to a man, no one has any idea what's going on in professional golf. They don't know if this merger is going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen with LIV. They don't know if players who turn down LIV contracts are going to get money. And not only do the players not know, the agents don't know either. The manufacturers don't know. No one knows what's going on in professional golf right now. Maybe Jimmy Dunn knows. Maybe Ed Hurley knows. Yasser, Jay, I guess they know. But I just don't know anyone else that I've been able to talk to that isn't in the dark like everyone else. So I think it's a very, very interesting time. Because nobody knows what's going on right now in professional golf, I thought the week from a PGA Tour versus LIV standpoint, I really didn't see a lot of animosity or, you know, people really talking about it. I just see everybody was just kind of saying, hey, we don't know. And you would talk to somebody and you would say to somebody on the range, hey, have you heard anything? And they'd say, no, I haven't heard anything. And somebody would ask, hey, have you heard that? And then I think one of the things that's frustrating right now for everyone involved is right now, everything is just a rumor. Everything you hear right now in professional golf. And for everybody listening, those of us that are inside the sport right now, I don't think anybody really has any idea what's going on. So very, very interesting times. I hope Jay Monahan's doing well. The last thing that you would want for someone like Jay, with everything that he's been through, Jay's had a tough go. Jay had to deal with COVID. and try and figure out how to navigate that. And then Jay had to try and figure out how to navigate this live situation. What I will say is that's why Jay Monahan gets paid the money that he gets paid. And he gets paid an enormous amount of money. Jay Monahan gets paid that money and has use of the PGA Tour's private jet and flies everywhere private and is at the Sun Valley Illuminati Business Illuminati Conference every summer. And so I did hear people saying last week, you know, he's been through a tough time, and he has. He's been through a very tough time. But when you're the commissioner of a major sports organization like the PGA Tour and everything that's happening, there's a price you pay for the salary that you're going to make. And I'm sure that he has had a lot of sleepless nights and is trying to navigate this and do what's best for the game of golf. At least I hope so. I don't believe that Jay's doing anything sinister in the same way that I don't think the Saudis are doing anything sinister. I mean, you can call me naive, you can call me dumb, you can call me, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, but I think everybody's trying to figure this thing out, and they're trying to make the best of a really tough situation. So I wish Jay Monahan a speedy recovery. I think the big question is will we see Jay Monahan back as the PGA Tour commissioner? I did talk to a lot of players last week and caddies that said it seemed like they had lost confidence, that they didn't have the confidence in the leadership at the PGA Tour that they used to have. And I could see that. I could definitely see that. But it's very, very interesting times. And like I said, there's a live event next week in Spain, which I'll be going to on Saturday. And it will be interesting to get back into the live ecosystem because since this announcement's happened, all the live guys and everybody associated with live that normally travels has, you know, we've had some off weeks. So it will be interesting to get back inside the live ecosystem and just see if there's any answers, see if there's any more. I mean, right now, I think there are more questions than there are answers. But it is my hope that in the coming weeks and months that everybody can try and find some common ground and try and figure out a way to move forward. And is there coexistence? I mean, I've heard so many rumors that Liv's dead. I don't see that. I think Liv could change and morph and move into a different configuration. But, you know, when you've got Rory McIlroy talking at the RBC Canadian Open about at some point there'll be some sort of team element to the PGA Tour down the line. I mean, is that what happens to Liv? I don't know. And I don't think anyone knows. But what I do know is I don't think anybody really knows what's going on right now in professional golf. But what I do know is the performance last week from Wyndham Clark was it was very, very impressive. And I think he has a very, very bright future. And I think his runway can be very, very long. He hits the golf ball with speed. And I think he will take an enormous amount of confidence getting it done under the conditions with basically, you can argue that he is one of the, to me right now, Rory, John Rahm on the PGA Tour. Rory, John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, they're kind of the gold standard on the PGA Tour. And, you know, for Wyndham Clark to stare Rory McIlroy down and come out on top, you have to play some great golf to do that. And if you're going to do that at a major championship, you have to dig deep mentally. You have to have a big heart. And yeah, very, very impressive from Wyndham Clark. And don't be surprised, like I said earlier, do not be surprised if you start seeing this guy win on a fairly, fairly regular basis. And he is going to have chances to win more majors because he has big, big time game. So like I said, I'm excited going to Valderrama on Live. A great, great old, you know, it's an iconic golf course on the European Tour. There have been Ryder Cups there. I was there with Tiger in the early 2000s. I can't remember. I was like, 2000, 2001. I think he won a WGC in a playoff with Miguel Angel Jimenez, and I was with him that week. And I still have unbelievable memories of watching Tiger Woods in kind of the glory days of the back in the day Tiger Woods. I remember he won, and we got in a car, and Steve Williams and I and Tiger were all going out to dinner, and we were driving out in the car, and it was dark, and it was just a sea of flash photography as we were driving out. I guess that's what being famous must feel like. I sure as hell wouldn't know, but it's a cool golf course. I'm excited for a bunch of the guys that have never seen it to see it, and it should be interesting. And then another major championship not far away. Want to thank everybody for listening. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.